All right, we've got another great interview for you guys on TYT Interviews. Very happy to talk to Russell Simmons again, of course, the founder of Def Jam, Fat Farm. I've got a very long list. One of our favorite websites, Global Grind, majority shareholder there as well. Best-selling author of Do You Super Rich, which we've interviewed him about. And now, Success Through Stillness. Everybody go crazy. All right. But I don't think that's the point of the book. And my favorite part of your bio, which you didn't write, obviously, and you're probably opposed to, is it says you're the third richest person involved in hip-hop.
Well, I don't know if that's fucking true.
I know you don't like that.
But I don't know if it's true. I mean, who says that? I'm sure it's not true. You know, you know how much money Puffy has? Jesus. Jay-Z, they're rich. They're like, I can put my house in my ex-wife's jacuzzi. She's in hip-hop, right? She's rich. I don't have anything.
Look, I'd like to be the third richest at anything. Okay, but you tell me that money's not important.
Every day, I talk to you, I remind you. I'm sure you know.
No, I know. It's unfortunately a little necessary. There's a ton of that I want to talk to you about. Obviously, let's start with the book. How am I going to get to that success by being incredibly still?
Well, we all want to be awake. You can't get no money in the future. In the past, you have to be present and thoughtful and awake and clear with great brain functionality. That's what makes you make money, right? Or success, worldly success, at least. Mm-hmm. So my view is that, you know, presence is not my view. I mean, for thousands of years, people have told you this, right? All the prophets all talk about this. This present state of mind, this idea of be still and know, right? It's in every scripture, taught by everybody over and over in different languages, by different, you know, different colors, you know, different ages, same rap. So this idea of presence, or Christ consciousness, or nirvana, or samadhi, or taqwa for Muslims, this idea of the awakened state, we all are more or less in it or moving towards it. So the more present we are, the more thoughtful and awake and aware we are, the greater we can perform. A basketball player is always looking to be in the zone.
Right.
When you're in the zone, it's like that awakened state, the rim is like a swimming pool and you can't miss. Right? And
that's me.
That's you, right? Yeah. So I'm saying, so you've been there. You just told me you play basketball, so you
that's
know
right.
what it's like when you get hot.
No, I'm an awesome
freedom.
Shooter, I know.
There's freedom, there's focus, there's awareness, there's consciousness. You can make the ball go in the rim. When the noise is in the mind, the rim is tiny and you can't get there. So what we want to do is to be awake so we can put the ball in the rim. And there's lots of instances where we have this experience. For those who don't play basketball, you're in a car accident, and the world moves slow. The present moment takes over. The future and the past are gone. So we meditate as a tool, the greatest tool we have to promote this kind of consciousness. And so that sounds a lot lofty, but the research says that if you meditate, if you sit in quiet time, that the brain functionality grows dramatically, that ADD disappears. That the blood pressure goes down, that, you know, this greater brain functionality, there's so much examples of your immune system boosts. So you have all this research. The gray matter in the brain, you can see it grow
on a
scanner.
So, of course, everybody's going to say, all right, look, let's assume that you're right and that LeBron's in a zone, and, of course, then I'd like to be in that zone, right? And let's assume that it comes through stillness. So, of course, people that haven't experienced it go, I'm not sure I know what
Everybody's
you mean by that.
Falling off a horse, or been in a car accident, or seen a sunset and everything looked beautiful. You know, this idea of presence, this idea of an awakened state. You have these seconds. Every time somebody tells you a joke, everything disappears, but the joke, the future, the path, everything goes. The joke tickles you, so you get focused. You want to increase that focus.
So, of course, the question is how. You know, putting the kidding aside, I have good days in basketball. I have bad days in basketball, and a lot of us have good days and bad days in whatever we're doing, right? So how do you achieve that on a regular basis?
The bad days when there's noise and fluctuations in the mind, the cause of all suffering and sadness. The good days when the mind is still. How do we achieve it? Through various different tools. One great tool, the greatest tool known to man today that promotes happiness and stillness is quiet time or meditation. We give it to students. We find whole schools are transformed. Schools are have kids who have more expansive, happy brains. They learn more.
So
they have less violence. They have great. So the research is crystal clear.
Right.
So what I'm promoting now is something that's thousands of years old, been promoted throughout the ages by various different prophets from different parts of the world, And then scientists come along and say, wow, here's the only thing we know for sure that makes you happy. Here's the only thing we know for sure that increases brain functionality, for any lasting, stable amount of time. Mm-hmm. So here's what we should do. We should probably sit in stillness.
So I got to understand more about that because I'm not religious, right? And I know that in a somewhat recent interview, you said that you're not technically a Buddhist, but you love the meditation and you practice the yoga for the sake of yoga.
You don't have to be a Buddhist to say, right. Be still and know. That's
a Christian rap, right? Of course. So, and I studied Taoism just a little bit, just a smidgen.
We don't
right?
want to go off into that religion shit. It's going to scare the fuck out of people. We don't want... I'm serious. We don't want... It's not about religion. I mean, I shouldn't have said prophets, but they're supposed to be the smart guys. In all religions, they all said the same shit. All I'm recommending is that we sit... Let our thoughts settle, let our brain settle, reboot our brain. If we do that, we will be better human beings. We'll be more compassionate, more happy, more giving, and good givers are great getters for those selfish, give and get.
Absolutely.
Right? Being awake is a state of consciousness we all want to be in. You can't be happy except in the present moment. When the noise is going around and when you have hundreds of thoughts in your brain all the time, it's hard to be happy. That's a foreign thought in the back of your brain. Where in an awakened state, you see all of the miracles, you could say God's miracles if you're nutty, God's miracles unfolding. Because it's beauty every fucking where you look when you are present.
You know what's really interesting is that so many people that I've interviewed say the same thing, that the more you give, the more you get. It sounds like a cliche. It sounds like, oh, come on, if you don't have a lot, it's hard to believe that that's true. But Danny Trejo sat here. If Michetti says it, it must be true. And he said, look, my life opened up and I started getting acting roles. Everything came to me when I decided that's it. All I'm going to do is give to people. And the more I gave, the more I got. But to go back to the idea of how to do it, right? So the reason I brought up Taoism is because I don't believe in any of the religions, including Taoism. But as a philosophy, it's really appealing to me that, they say, be the river. And they talk a lot about stillness, and that appeals to me. So I've always thought that meditation was a good idea. Of course, since I'm one of the guys that's just running around all the time, I can't always practice what you tell me to, even though I know I should. And I don't do the meditation. But if I were to do the meditation, what is it? What do I do?
You sit your ass down. I give you a mantra, which I give a collective mantra, not like you pay for. Because the David Lynch Foundation, I'm inspired greatly by the work that they're doing. I'm on their board. We're giving it to hundreds of thousands of kids. But I give a collective mantra, a mass mantra. It's rum. Say rum.
Rum.
Say rum, 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 rum.
So isn't that the crazy?
Say rum, 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 rum. Get to do it before I tell you. Ask me what to do.
All right. Let's do it. Rum, 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 rum.
All right, rum.
Rum.
All right, you take that same rum shit, right? Uh-huh. Fast or slow, and you sit. And you repeat it to yourself. And you fasten your mind on it. But if your mind wants to drift away to a thought, sexual or crazy thought,
yes.
or fun thought, okay.
Yes.
Think it through. Come back to the mantra. Gently mm-hmm. come back. And then your mind's going to say, fuck you, I'm not going to meditate. And mm-hmm. you're going to sit there and say, I don't care what the mind says, I'm going to sit my ass here anyway. So the mind says, go to the refrigerator. I'm not going to go now. And when the mind realizes, like a monkey in a cage, it's bouncing around, going crazy, then it realizes the cage is not going to move. The monkey will settle. The mind is just like that. So imagine the mind bounces around, and within a few minutes of you gently going back and forth to the mantra rum, you say, oh shit, I'm meditating. Right? You don't have to open your eyes. You say, oh shit, I'm meditating. Then your mind will bounce around a little more. And then it will settle even more. The mind always settles as the nervous system settles. And then you sit. And then 20 minutes when the alarm goes off, you can open your eyes. And other than that, you sit your ass there.
And
all you need to
meditate,
all you need to meditate is patience. Because the first 2 minutes could be forever. Could be. Could mm-hmm. feel like forever. And the mind's going crazy. But you're stuck there until the alarm goes off. And it's really only been 2 minutes, so you just let the mind do what the fuck it wants to do. It will settle. It always does.
So here's the thing. When I start doing something similar to that, akin to that, I don't do the mantra, which I got
to
do. But then what I want
to
do...
I tell you, but I'm just giving you a very short route, a very safe, simple
right.
kind of practice that I know will... work for everyone, and that's easy to implement for anyone.
I got you. So, but like then, because I fancy myself uber productive, etc. I'm like, great, I got 20 minutes, and I've got quiet time. So then, let me plan. Let me plan what I, let me have an epiphany or something.
You're going to have at first lots of thoughts, and even during the meditation, lots of thoughts, less and less. But, you know, say you have 100 thoughts, 50 thoughts, 30 thoughts. There's one that I want to pay attention to. So you pay attention to it. And then you'll watch your thoughts from a distance, because what you want to do in life is be in walking meditation. You want to be the watcher. The yogis refer to it. In fact, they call it the watcher. So the person is in the world but not connected. So therefore, not attached. So therefore, he can be acquit, more thorough, thoughtful. You know, so you can do twice as much in half the time, because you cannot do shit in the future. You can only do shit now. So the idea of being awake and thoughtful and productive comes when you are present. Other than that, you know, you're thinking about a result. The result doesn't pay you. The prayer is the work itself. If you can be here, then that's the prayer. Being here is the happy experience. Being in the future and getting stuff, the result that you prayed for, you missed the presence because you attached too much to the toy or to the result, and it causes sickness and sadness, just like the noise on the outside. So nothing happens except from the inside out, certainly not happiness. And you want to operate from abundance, as some Christians would say, or some people say, operate from abundance. So when you're present and awake, your seat, all you want in life is a comfortable seat. If you have that comfortable seat and you need for nothing, needing nothing attracts everything. And needing nothing, you're a good giver, and good givers are great getters. Mm-hmm. So I'm giving people what people have said for thousands of years, and I'm trying to make it as simple as possible. In fact, my daughter, who is now 11, been meditating 3 years, I asked for my report the other day before the book came out. And she said, Daddy, your book is remedial at best.
Okay, you know, how many times did you hit her?
I didn't hit her. I wanted to shake her, but I only hit her. I shake her, you know, until the shoulders get up like that. Shake her. But I didn't shake her. I let her off at school, and I still want my report. And I come down the hill, sitting home, thinking maybe, you know, I've always written scripture simple, borrowed from scripture, simplified it, bestsellers, super rich, do you, whatever. So I write books like this. I've dumbed it down too much. My 11-year-old told me my book was remedial at best. And I got a call from Oprah, and she said she loved my book. So I wanted to go back to her school then and shake her for sure.
Well, the audience doesn't know, but your daughter goes to a school for geniuses, so we got to cut her.
Don't say school.
Okay, all right. No,
smart
no,
kid. She goes to school for gifted.
Okay. So one last thing about, well, actually two things about meditation. One is, I really want to get it right. That's why I keep asking, right? Are you supposed to have thoughts, or are you not supposed to have thoughts?
Come and go.
But you're not supposed to think.
You're not supposed to have anything. You just sit. Sit your ass down. Repeat the mantra. If thoughts come, they come. And they do. And they come. If you want to, it's like if you had a scratch real bad, then what, are you going to sit there and be itch forever? No, you eventually scratch. But then there'll be a moment where you got to scratch, but you're like, fuck that. I don't want to, you know, or swallow. I don't want to swallow. It's like a bomb going off in my head. So I just sit here.
Okay.
And that stillness is so beautiful. And you must do it every day, you know. It will change your life. It's a simple gift to the world. I want to give it to all the school kids in this country and around the world. We have a couple hundred thousand kids meditating through the David Lynch Foundation. We have soldiers. We have prisoners. I want everybody to meditate. You know, I given it to Oprah. She gave it to her staff. She talked about it quite a bit. Gave it to Ellen DeGeneres. She and her wife did it. She's helped us greatly in putting it in schools and in raising money for David Lynch Foundation, which I work for with. So to me, giving mindfulness or meditation to children, quiet time to children, is a key thing. I'm giving my money away. I'm not keeping the money, but the book, never mind the book, just the idea of teaching kids to sit and let their thoughts settle is very appealing to me.
Okay, so earlier in the week, we did a story on orgasmic meditation. So apparently these people get together and they do a nest, and then they touch a woman in her clitoris for 15 minutes, and that's called orgasmic meditation. Are you familiar with this? Is it kooky, or hey, you do you?
I'm not familiar with that, but that sounds like fun. It's like, I meditate, I teach girls to meditate, right? And they open up their eyes and they're so happy, and you just turn to them and you kiss them, and they're like, they just fuck you, like, so it happens. It's happened. I taught a girl to meditate, which I met at a at a convention, and she said, I'll go to your room and meditate, but I think she might plan on giving it to me anyway. We meditated, and she sat there, and her eyes were so light. I said, I looked at her, and I started kissing. That's the thing we were fucking. So maybe there you have it. So meditation helps you get laid.
Okay, I believe that, although I believe that that's a little easier if you're Russell Simmons.
I didn't pay. Just keeping it real.
No, no, of course not.
Oh,
but you're Russell
mean?
Simmons. I
oh,
mean,
yeah, well.
You know what I'm saying? It's a little different if you're
See,
Joe Blow or
like,
Jake Huger.
You know, philanthropic, social, spiritual, kind of happy people like I am, and we kind of got along.
And you were in the present.
We were present. And I got a present.
And you got a present, exactly. All right, so speaking of which, I don't know if it really connects, but I've always wanted to ask you, so you grew up in Queens, your father was a public school administrator, your mom was a parks administrator, so obviously you came from very humble roots. Did you ever think that you would be in a situation where you're Russell Simmons and, you know, you've got this? And if you saw today, if you saw back then what you are today, could you have imagined it? Could you have believed it?
I don't think I could have believed it. You know, my friends died and went to jail. Hollis, Queens was the drug capital, heroin capital of Queens. Larry Lucas, remember the Frank Lucas movie, right? He was on my corner, mm-hmm. the cleaners. So it was a pretty, you know, we moved in and it was, you know, it was not a bad middle class neighborhood. It became destroyed through drugs. So I came up, I was in a gang, the regular shit. I sold drugs, I took tons of drugs. So I've evolved, and I've watched a lot of friends that didn't get to evolve, and I've watched a lot of others, a few others who, you know, are still with me today. So it's a long journey. I'm 56 years old. I've seen a lot. I don't think I could have imagined any of, you know, I couldn't imagine having that first Christmas wrapping, which was, I think, the biggest, you know, I always say results don't matter, but there was a moment when I got off the plane, and I was in Amsterdam, and I'd never been on a plane. And he said they were playing my record on the radio in Amsterdam, not Amsterdam Avenue in Harlem, where we operated mostly.
But you lived on Amsterdam.
Right, Amsterdam. And I get there, and the owner of the record company, the president of the record company, meets me at the airport. He said, what would you like, Mr. Simmons? And I didn't know who the fuck he was talking to, but he seemed cool, so I said, I'd like some cocaine and some pussy. And he facilitated that, and so that's when I knew I had made it.
I got to try that sometime. I walk off a plane and be like, I'll take cocaine and pussy. See if I get it.
It's amazing. In Amsterdam, the president of Red Cup, he says, no problem, Mr. Simmons. So that was 1979.
So, okay, a lot of people dream of success, right? You have achieved success, perhaps through stillness. And now that you've gotten there, same question I asked Larry King a couple of days ago. Do you wake up every morning super happy, like, yes?
All of us want to be still. All of us want to be happy now. Nothing that they give you on the outside promotes that. There is no gift that they can give you, including fame or money, that can make you have that. That sits in here, and we already have it. Do I wake up some mornings and meditate and then open my eyes and start giggling or even crying? Happiness? Yes. But do I wake up because of my accomplishments and because of the things that that I give the world excited? No. I wake up because I move closer to this. When I'm happy, I wake up and it's this that makes me happy. There is nothing they can give you or me that will make you happy. There's no new car, no new success story, no new shit they can give you to make you happy. Happiness sits in the heart. And you meditate to get to that happiness. There's nothing that science has proven will make you happier more than the research on meditation itself. So this is why I try to give this gift. There's a chapter on it in my books, all of my books. Now I have a book about it. It's a very simple book. I really want to give it to the world. I really want people to if everybody meditated, it would be no war. We'd be more compassionate, more loving. It would lift the vibration of the planet tremendously. And so I want to give as many people this gift as possible.
So, Russell, I think a lot of people at home are going to say, hey, listen, I hear you, but I got two jobs, right? And I don't know.
No niggas ain't got many jobs as me. No, fuck, nobody got more jobs than me.
But
I got up this morning, 3:45, I did radio interviews.
Mm-hmm.
I went and did Big Boy Radio, in this mm-hmm. Big Boy's radio yeah. show today. I went and did a meeting at Paramount today. I went and did a meeting with some writers today. I did a bunch of phone interviews today. I'm here fucking with you now. I leave. No, I'm serious. I leave you. I got more shit to do and more shit to do. And then after it's all over, I have yoga at 7. And then I got a business dinner with Sticky Fingers, the director of this movie. I have this rap opera at Crossroads, which is nice to go to Crossroads and have dinner with Sticky Fingers. Hopefully some chicks will join us. But that's what my day is. Every day is like that day. That's just not a new day.
Quick aside, are you single now?
I'm single.
I heard that you were dating Shannon Elizabeth. Is that right or wrong?
We are dating.
Okay.
So I'm kind of single. She's the chick that I go out with. I like her the most. She likes me the most. We don't really say that we're dating like that. People ask, say, you know, we don't even say we're single usually either. We don't say shit. But we don't really, you know, it's like we're grown, you know. Yeah. But she is my fling flame. Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
What sounds awesome?
One, Shannon Elizabeth.
She's fantastic. She's an animal activist. I loved about her when I met her. Uh-huh. We had Mercy for Animals. She was a big supporter. She's really a brilliant, sweet girl, but her main thing is that she's, you know, she's a great animal activist, animal rescue, you know, a very compassionate, sweet person.
Right. I'm not sure that'd be the top thing that I'd be interested in, but I hear you. I hear you. And plus, it seems like you might have other options. I don't know. It sounds great to me. I don't know.
Well, she has other options, too.
No,
I mean, a lot of things you could probably call it.
I doubt it, but
okay. I'm saying she could go out with you, and I wouldn't, like, jump out the window. I'd be sad a little bit. Probably a little jealous, but it's okay. That's how we operate, me and her.
Oh, that's great. No, it's a great relationship. It's open-minded and everything. But to go back to that person with the two jobs, you're right. You work your ass off, and, you know, you run 28
but, you know,
different
Simone,
things.
But, my assistant, is here. Simone is here with her blind dog. She's a seeing eye person. Hi, Simone.
Hi.
Hey, Simone.
Simone is here, and Simone said, and Simone meditates too, but she says, Russell, how are you going to make it on this plane, land here, do this, do that, then you got yoga at 4, but then you have this, and you work until 1 o'clock in the morning. Then you get up and take the flight. Do I have 6 hours yoga and meditation? She said, yeah, you do, actually. I said, all right, fuck all I need. I do what I'm told. Other than that,
so
I do what I'm told.
You might sleep 5 and then you do...
5 is good.
Five is good.
I'm good with 5. I like 6.
That's a huge advantage. People, I like...
You can't sleep 5 hours and you're a little fucked up. But if you sleep 5 hours, you get to meditate, go to work, it's all good.
Okay, but she's going to say, look, man, I'm a single mother.
I'd like to stop and get laid. I'd like to stop and go to the whatever, but I can't always do that. I do what the fuck I'm told.
I hear you. But she's worried about the rent. Okay, she's a single mother, she's worried about her kid.
I'd worry about the rent shit. You know, nothing you can do about the rent and worrying about it. That ain't gonna get you no rent. Presence and happiness get you rent. Money can't make you happy, but happy can make you money. So be happy, go out in the world. Look, the story of the guy in the shanty house, he rolls over in the morning, meditates, goes out into the world. It's like, damn, I'm gonna have to get some bread and water before the whole shit go down, before I get back in that bed. But in the meantime, be nice to all my neighbors in the shanty village. Everybody is suffering in what everyone else calls extreme poverty, but he's happy. He doesn't have a poverty mindset. Nor is he worried about that bread and water. They're gonna give me some motherfucking bread. I ain't gonna worry about that shit, because I'm that dude. He walks out smiling, confident, comfortable. He gets what he needs. He says, but Yogananda would say, God will provide, but really, you're God, you're working to get, and it shows up. He gets his bread and water. He makes everybody happy. Everybody makes him happy. Lays in the bed. Next nigga, he wakes up. He's got you know, $36 billion in the bank. He gets up. The stock market goes up. He says, "Oh shit!" He gets some coke and some alcohol. He gets happy. He's so excited. I'm exploding. I'm making more money, more money, more money. Oh shit! It crashed. Oh shit! More cocaine, more alcohol. Oh shit! I'm fucked up. I'm fucked up. His heart goes up and down. And he dies at 40. The shanty house guy lives to 100. If he had the other guy's diet, not the diet the other guy took, but the other guy's opportunity for having a greater diet, the guy in the shanty house would have made 120. But, you know, made 100. This guy died at 40. That's the reality of our, you know, our happiness is up to us. You know, our relationship with the world is up to us. Our anxiety is controlled or given to us by us.
So one last thing, and it involves happiness too. Is there anything in the world that if you accomplished it, that you would sit on a porch somewhere for the rest of your life and think, not a care in the world. I mean, I could do this and I
could accomplish on the outside world that will give you that kind of peace. There's nothing they can give you in this world that would make you feel like, go sit on a fucking porch, I did it.
Well,
nothing.
No, 28th Amendment. I get money out of politics. We pass the 28th Amendment. I'm on a porch.
I slept in a fucking park.
I know, I know.
I gave
your money to help those guys.
I occupy. I want.
If we get money out of politics, Russell, if we do it together, come on. Porch.
I go to Constitutional Amendment along with Dennis Kucinich. Remember?
Yeah,
you know that, right?
I mean,
you're on the same page, right? If I get the money out of politics, then I'll, you know, when I got the Rockefeller drug law, the governor gave me the pen. I took the pen. I lost the fucking pen. I went back and then got the next governor to change it even more, get rid of the complete judges now have control over those laws, over, you know, sentencing. That's great. First, we changed the laws dramatically. Then we fixed the law completely. Nice. We sent a letter to the attorney general. Everybody signed the letter. Everybody signed this fucking letter, right? From Harry Belafonte to Brad Pitt to NAACP to Urban League, all Latino and other kinds of drug policy alliance, all these niggas signed. Justin Bieber tweeted that shit out, the attorney general called. So we did our job. He changed the way he charges first-time offenders, the attorney general did. Mm-hmm. There'll be laws changed. We'll continue down this process. We will fight the prison industrial complex back some. Maybe one day they won't be paying our politicians to lock up our people, maybe, but whatever it is, this is just ongoing prayer, ongoing movement. Changing the world is an ongoing process, and it's just fun to do it. Mother Teresa sat there, everybody's suffering, she's laughing and shit. I said, why is she smiling, holding these people who are sick? And because she's doing God's work, and that's the fuck all you can do. And there is no end. Like the guy said, when he's killing all those people, he said, He said, we're just doing God. Aren't we done? And the end of it, he said, there's no end to God's work. He's keep killing people. It's the fuck, that's what it is. You cannot end this process till you get in the box, you know? Neediness, though, needing to end things, you got to end that. Mm-hmm. If you should, you know, this is a yogic scripture. I don't want to get too crazy on you. If you should need anything, it should be needing nothing. If you seek anything, it should be state of needing nothing. But you shouldn't seek that either, they would say. Just be. And go to work every day and enjoy your work.
See, that's why the only thing I do seek, and
ending
perhaps...
Ending the money in politics. When they end the money in politics, you're going to be looking around and you're like, the fuck?
Not a care in the world.
That's bullshit.
No, because then we gave back. Then we gave back. We helped people.
After that?
No, of course I do. Okay, but it's gravy. You know, it's optional.
Dick sucking is gravy?
It's gravy, okay?
Really?
I would rather have
that
the 28th
Amendment. That was
Lord
Buddha's last problem before enlightenment. You're telling me you just, like, that's just gravy? You don't care? Got to end the money out of politics first?
Money out of politics first, that second. Okay, but that's optional. That's how much I care about it. But look, you know, and I want to sit back and say, not a care in the world. We helped the world.
Helped the world every day. I run 5 charities. I work in philanthropic, social, and political initiatives that I feel matter. I've had breakthroughs in some ways. I mean, we started putting imams and rabbis together in one country, and we did meet one day with 100 rabbis and imams, and then 40 other countries. And then, wow, we have this big program, Foundation for Ethnic Understanding. Rabbis speaking in mosques and imams speaking in synagogue, and all this stuff is going on. Then he went to Israel. Shimon Peres says, come and speak at my president's convention. I said, I'm going to put imams and rabbis together. He says, we have many great Indonesian imams. I said, no, nigga, Palestinian imams. And so we got the Palestinian imams to speak in the synagogue and the mosque, now populated by some rabbis in different instances. And so we have 20 programs in Israel. No one thought it could be done. Do I sit back because of it? No, because now they're still fighting. The motherfuckers still don't have... The dialogue between some religious leaders is great. If the Grand Mufti and the chief rabbi, Metzger, or the new rabbi, chief rabbi, I forget his name, they have more dialogue, that's great, and they still got to get the politicians. And then it's an ongoing process, service.
No,
it's somebody's for your purpose. There ain't going to be no end to this doing good. If you're killing people for good, there's no end. Don't you remember that Clint Eastwood movie said
no,
that?
I do.
There's no
and
end
of course
doing
you're
good.
Right. And after we pass an amendment, then you got to pass progressive bills because it gives you an opportunity
to do. You're
talking
specifically about that shit again.
No, I am.
Yes, okay, yeah.
I'm obsessed.
Then you'll be happy, right?
When
you
get then I'll meditate with you. No, I'm going to look.
You keep saying when I get to, you lay in the box. When I get to retire. People say when I get to retire. People say when I get to go to school. When I get to school, I'm going to go to school. And then when I get to high school, I'm going to get laid. My thing, high school girls lay you. You know, when I get to the box. So in the meantime, be happy now. Presence and happiness.
I try. I'm not as good at it as you, and I do want to meditate.
I'm just telling you, I have faith in the process. There are things and tools and things and stuff that make you happy. And pursue those things. And they're different from the things and tools and things and stuff that are sold to you. But things that everybody's promoted throughout thousands of years, some of those things work. Meditation is one of them.
Agreed. Success through stillness. Everybody go crazy. Check it out. Look, he doesn't need the money. It's not about that.
I'm giving the money away.
Right. Yeah.
I love you say everybody go crazy. Everybody get my book. Get my book. Go crazy.